Hello, everyone. We have made it to episode 101. Yes, we have survived this long, and there's no stopping us now. So welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a very good show planned for you today. Very interesting one. And yeah, let me get my disclaimers out of the way, and we will jump into it. So the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. As always, you can reach me via email at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is www.un-con-ventional.com/radio. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive, and I do use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. And you can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. I am trying to build that channel, so please like, subscribe, comment, share, all that good stuff. I post superhero memes daily throughout the week. I also post many other videos. I've just done a bunch, and they're crazy. Some of them are like the AI art, which I know isn't popular with a lot of artists, and I am not trying to take away from it. It's just things I find off the internet, and I will just group them to make a quick slideshow and present them because they're interesting. Nothing more, nothing less. But guys, that's about it for that. Let me get into this week's episode. I am going to be talking about Rorschach from Watchmen. DC Comics fame, incredible character, could be probably one of the most underrated characters ever, and I'm just going to go on record as saying that. His real name is Walter Joseph Kovacs. So Walter Kovacs was actually born on March 21st, 1940. The son of Sylvia Kovacs, who was a prostitute, and an unknown father, only known to Kovacs as Charlie. His mother was frequently abusive and condescending towards him, probably because she was a prostitute, and that's nothing against that kind of work. It's just back then, you know, it just wasn't the best kind of profession. It wasn't the best economic situation. So, you know, it just kind of fit. But she was abusive and condescending. Now, in July of 1951, at the age of 11, Kovacs became involved in a violent fight with two older bullies, and subsequently his living conditions were finally looked into. He was removed from his mother's care and put in the Lillian Charlton Home for Problem Children in New Jersey, where he rapidly seemed to improve, excelling at scholastics as well as gymnastics and amateur boxing. In 1956, after leaving the Charlton home when he was 16, Kovacs took a job as a garment worker in a dress shop. It was there that he found it bearable but unpleasant, partly because he had to handle women's clothing, with his mom being a prostitute and him kind of being forced to be around that with people coming in and out. Like, if you ever watched the Watchmen movie, that's how it was depicted. You know, he's probably very uncomfortable around women's clothing because he knew the connotation. But it was there that he acquired a certain dress fabric that he would later fashion into the mask he wears now as Rorschach. In 1962, Kovacs scavenged the material from a rejected dress that had been special ordered by a young woman with an Italian name. Though Kovacs learned how to cut and fashion the material successfully with heated implements, he soon grew bored with it, as it served no real purpose at the time. So 2 years later, when buying a newspaper on his way back to work in March of 1964, Kovacs read about the rape and murder of Kitty Genovese, who he believed was the Italian woman who had rejected the dress. Ashamed by what he read about the unresponsiveness of her neighbors, Kovacs became disillusioned with the underlying apathy that he saw as inherent in most people. Inspired by Genevieve's fate, Kovacs returned home and made a face that he could bear to look at in the mirror. From the dress's fabric, he began fighting crime as the vigilante Rorschach. Initially, Kovacs left criminals alive, but bloodied for the police to arrest, leaving a calling card in the form of a Rorschach test at every crime scene. In the mid-1960s, he teamed up with Night Owl 2, which is a partnership that proved highly successful at battling organized crime. Now, I absolutely love this. The story about the rape and murder of Kitty Genovese. I was watching a documentary a couple years ago about real-life superheroes. And I found it on YouTube at the time, I believe. Or maybe it was Netflix. It was something. But anyways, there's a story similar to this where this woman gets mugged and beaten and assaulted. And as she's screaming for help, people are closing their blinds on their windows or they're closing the curtains. And, you know, she was basically ignored at that time. And it's because people didn't want to get into someone else's business. They didn't want to stir the pot. So they just wanted to ignore things, and it ended up being what it is. So that was like the inspiration for real life superheroes. This is something very similar, is the inspiration for Rorschach, which I absolutely love. I think that's great. So in 1975, an investigation into the kidnapping of a young girl named Blair Rouge led to the transformation of the soft Kovacs into the ruthlessly uncompromising Rorschach. He tracked the kidnapping to a man named Gerald Grice. At Grice's shack, Kovac found evidence Grice had killed the girl and fed her remains to his dogs. Discovering this, Rorschach suffered a psychotic breakdown, killed the dogs with Grice's meat cleaver, and waited for his arrival. When Grice returned, Rorschach hurled the corpses of the dogs through his windows, handcuffed him to a stove, and poured kerosene around him. Leaving Grice a hacksaw, Rorschach told him that his only chance to escape would be by cutting off his hand. Rorschach then set the shack on fire and left. No one emerged. During a later psychological evaluation, the vigilante stated that Kovacs went into the shack, but that Rorschach came out. This was perfectly done in the Watchmen movie. If you haven't watched it, I understand it's a long movie, and some people didn't like it. I thought it was great. I thought that aside from the, you know, they didn't include the, I think it was called the story of the Black Treader or something like that. It was a kind of a pirate story. They didn't include that in it, which was in the original comics, but this was pretty faithful to the comics. And I encourage you all to watch it, because you're not going to get much better as far as I believe what a Watchmen adaptation would be. Anyways, okay, in 1977, there was something called the Keenak Pass that outlawed vigilantes. Rorschach responded by killing a wanted serial rapist and leaving his body outside a police station with a note bearing one word, never. By 1985, and the events of the Watchmen comic, Rorschach is the vigilante who continues to operate in defiance of the Keenak, while the rest have either retired or become government operatives. He investigates the murder of a man named Edward Blake, discovering that he is actually the comedian. He believes that someone is picking off costume superheroes, which is a view that strengthens when Dr. Manhattan is forced into exile when Adrian Veidt, the former criminal or former vigilante known as Ozymandias, is targeted in an assassination attempt. Rorschach questions Moloch, who's a former supervillain, who unexpectedly attends Blake's funeral, who tells him what little he knows. Later, after reading a note written by Moloch, telling him to come over for more information, Rorschach visits him again, only to find him dead, shot through the head. The police tipped off anonymously over the phone surround the house, and Rorschach scolds himself for falling into such an obvious trap and is arrested after a fight. During that fight, Rorschach tries to escape by jumping through a window, but is unmasked. After the unmasking, Rorschach is revealed to be the red-haired man who, in addition to being the first character to appear in the series, was actually shown several times in the early chapters, carrying a sign that said, "The end is nigh." Rorschach is sent to prison, where many of its inmates are criminals he put away, including a Big Figure, who's the dwarf crime boss, who is hungry for Rorschach's blood. During his incarceration, he is interviewed by the prison psychologist, Dr. Malcolm Long, and Dr. Long believes he can help rehabilitate him, and instead, Rorschach's explanation of his life and his justifications for his uncompromising worldview lead Dr. Long to question his own views. That's pretty messed up. Now, I am mainly talking about the Watchmen version of Rorschach. DC Comics did actually release another Rorschach, or they showed another Rorschach later. This one is actually, from what I read, Dr. Malcolm Long, the psychiatrist, that's his son who found the notes and got inspired. So, it's kind of crazy, right? But I'm not going to talk any more about him. I just wanted to kind of throw that in because of the link there. Now, one day during lunch, one of the inmates attempts to attack Rorschach with a shiv, whereupon Rorschach throws the boiling oil contents of a deep fryer into his face in self-defense. As the guards grab and begin to beat him, Rorschach hoarsely yells at the watching crowd, "None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me." Just as the scene in Watchmen goes. After the inmate dies, the prison breaks out in a riot. The Big Figure and two of his associates try to kill Rorschach, but he outwits and ultimately kills them all in rapid succession. Rorschach's two former colleagues, Night Owl 2 and Silk Spectre 2, begin to take his mass killer theory seriously and break him out of jail to follow up on it. After the prison break, Dr. Manhattan comes back from his self-exile to transport Silk Spectre 2 to Mars. After acquiring a spare costume from his apartment, Rorschach, along with Night Owl, enters underworld bars to find out who ordered the assassination attempt on Vite. They obtain a name, a company called Pyramid Deliveries, and then break into Vite's office. Night Owl correctly deduces Vite's password and finds that he runs Pyramid Deliveries. Rorschach, who has been keeping a journal throughout the duration of the novel, realizes that they may be no match for Vite. He makes one last entry in his journal, stating his certainty that Vite is responsible for whatever might happen next, and drops it into a mailbox. Night Owl and Rorschach fly out to Antarctica. There they learn the true nature of the conspiracy and Vite's motivations, which is to unite a world against a perceived alien threat and stop the possibility of a nuclear holocaust. Vite then reveals that he has set his plan in motion well before they arrive. Dr. Manhattan and Silk Spectre 2 arrive at the base after viewing the carnage Vite's false alien has wrought upon New York City. Despite their mutual horror, Night Owl, Silk Spectre 2, and Dr. Manhattan all agree to keep quiet about the true nature of the events when the United States surprisingly does enter into a peace accord with the Soviet Union. So this is one of those rare situations where the villain actually wins. Like, the villain won this. And it's because if the heroes told the truth as to what happened, everyone would turn against them. So they figured the damage had been done. Let's move forward from there. But that is one of those situations where the villain wins. Now, Rorschach states the others must be joking and leaves to tell the world. Dr. Manhattan confronts him outside, telling him he cannot allow Rorschach to reveal the truth. Refusing to compromise his principles, Rorschach understands he will be killed, so he removes his mask and demands that Manhattan just do it, which Manhattan does. In the final scenes of the comic, Rorschach's journal has made it to the offices of the New Frontiersman, a right-wing newspaper. Outraged by the new accord between the Soviet Union and the United States, the editor pulls a planned two-page story. He leaves it to his assistant Seymour to decide how to fill that space, and Seymour begins to reach for the paper's crank file, which contains the journal. The outcome is then ambiguous, so they kind of leave it for you to decide. But that's a crazy history, right? Like, that's his history. It's not a lot. It's not a lot, but it's still in my opinion, he's still one of the most, if not the most, underrated comic book character. Period. Like, he's amazing. And I'm going to get into more in a bit. But let's go over his powers. Now, Rorschach is 5'6", so he's 5.5 feet tall. He weighs about 140 pounds. And as Walter Kovacs, which he considers his disguise, he appears as a red-haired, expressionless man who always carries with him a sign that reads, "The end is nigh." Most people who see Kovacs consider him ugly, and Rorschach himself states that he cannot bear to look upon his own human face, considering his mask his true face, and that is beautiful instead. His clothing then matches those of a homeless man, which seems to be his disguise when he has not donned his vigilante attire. Now, during Rorschach's nighttime patrols, he wears a striped purple business suit, similarly colored leather gloves, a gray scarf, and a heavily unpolished elevator shoes. More signature of his apparel is his brown trench coat with his matching fedora hat that has a light purple stripe. However, Rorschach's most defining feature of his costume is his ink-blotted mask. Now, I have to tell you, I used to make fun of Rorschach's mask because of the nature of it, because the fabric could shift the design, so it made it incredibly easy for artists to do whatever on the mask. They didn't have to follow a set pattern, which made it just easier, right? So I used to joke on that a lot, but I actually love seeing it in the Watchmen movie. So it works. It just works. Now, Rorschach's mask, which he considers his true face, is a piece of fabric made from a material derived from the technologies of Dr. Manhattan, and it is blank except on the front, where two viscous liquids, one black and one white, are between two layers of latex. The liquids continually shift in response to heat and pressure, which explains why the liquid only animates when Rorschach puts it on his face. The black liquids form symmetrical patterns like those of a Rorschach inkblot test, while never mixing with the white color of the mask, thus never producing a gray color, much like Rorschach's view of morality in the world. During his childhood, Walter Kovacs was described as bright and excelled in literature, mathematics, political science, and religious education. Kovacs continues a one-man battle against crime long after superheroes have both become detested and illegal, eventually replacing his Kovacs identity with the persona of Rorschach. Rorschach considers his mask his true face, and his unmasked persona to be his disguise. Refusing to answer to his birth name only during his trials and psychiatric sessions. Alan Moore depicted Rorschach as being extremely right-wing and morally absolute, a viewpoint that has alienated him from the rest of society, even among other superheroes. Rorschach also presents his views on right and wrong as starkly black and white with no room for compromise, with the exception of his respect for the comedian whose attempted assault for the first Silk Spectre he dismissed as a moral lapse. He holds deep contempt for behavior he considers immoral and is openly derogatory towards heroes who do not share his unwavering views, deriding them as soft. We can definitely see this in this day and age in politics. You know, like a few years ago, the term snowflakes was popular. He would be one that would call people snowflakes. And it's kind of weird though, right? Because when I say he's underrated, I'm not talking about his political views. whether you agree with him or not, that's debatable. What I do find interesting is the kind of moral absolutes there. You know, there's, like he said, there's no gray area with him. It's either you're right or you're wrong. And it's hard when there's little nuances, right? So that's kind of interesting to me. Now, Rorschach displays a discomfort with female sexuality as a result of his early childhood. although the crimes that most affected him spiritually were against women. The murders of Kitty Genovese and Blair Rorschach. Now, Rorschach is often described as being mentally ill by other members or other characters in the comic. You know, this is a kid that he had a really rough time growing up, so it's bad when you can understand it, you know? And I didn't have a rough time growing up like that. Far from it. But I can see his motivations, you know? And when you're dealing with people that are degrading your mother, and your mother is letting stuff like that happen, and stuff like how she's depicted, I can kind of see how that would shape his worldview. You know, where there's just right and wrong. Now, like most characters in Watchmen, Rorschach has no obvious superpowers. He merely has a strong will, peak human physical strength, and finely honed sense of timing and precision. Rorschach is very resourceful and creative, adapting ordinary household items into tools or weapons, such as the use of a can of aerosol spray in combination with multiple matches to set fire to a police officer and throwing ground black pepper to blind another police officer during a confrontation at Moloch's house. During the series, he is shown to use cooking fat, a toilet bowl, a cigarette, a fork, and his jacket, all as weapons. He is also shown using a coat hanger as a makeshift measuring device. He owns a gas-powered grappling gun, which he uses to climb buildings, and once as a makeshift harpoon gun against a police officer, and a scene in Chapter 1, which was designed and built by Night Owl 2. Okay, so what other hero do we know that doesn't have superpowers that uses a grappling gun? It's okay, I'll wait while you answer this question. Okay, I think I waited long enough. You should have a couple answers by now. Now, Rorschach is well-versed in street combat, gymnastics, and boxing. He's also extremely stoic, as shown by his indifference to pain and discomfort. He even tolerated Antarctic temperatures while wearing only a trench coat over street clothes, without complaining or even commenting on the severe cold. Now, despite his mental instability, Rorschach is extremely intelligent and described as tactically brilliant and unpredictable by Night Owl, and shows a marked affinity for detective work, as evidenced by his ability to locate the comedian's costume in his apartment when the police could not. Much like Batman in the mainstream DC universe, Rorschach is given the title of World's Greatest Detective. He's also skilled at lockpicking, although a running gag throughout the series has him simply forcing Night Owl's front door open to talk to him. Which, that's pretty funny. I can definitely see that. So that's his power set. Like, not a lot of power sets, but there's a lot of dimension to the character. So I hope you guys are appreciating this like I am. But let me get into fun facts. Now, in Kingdom Come number 2, my favorite comic miniseries of all time, period, hands down, I will die on that hill. It was a miniseries published by DC Comics in 1996. Rorschach actually appears as a background character breaking Brother Power's fingers. He is also seen standing between the Question and Obsidian during a scene in which Superman visits a metahuman bar. In 2007, Rorschach was featured in the promo artwork by Art Adams for the Countdown to Final Crisis Arena miniseries by DC Comics, where he's being beaten by Batman from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. However, DC opted to omit Rorschach and the aforementioned Batman from the actual Countdown to the Final Crisis Arena miniseries. Rorschach appears in Watchmen the Motion comic, where he, along with every other character in the series, is in. In Watchmen, after Rorschach's mysterious disappearance, which was in reality his death as depicted at the end of the graphic novel, his journal was discovered, published in a reactionary newspaper known for conspiracy theories. It was initially ignored. The journal was later appropriated by the 7th Cavalry, a white supremacist splinter terrorist group, who, given Rorschach's right-wing politics and description of morality as black and white, misinterpreted the journal as a racist manifesto. Members of the cavalry wear crude replicas of Rorschach's mask and attack members of the Tulsa police and their families for enforcing President Robert Redford's reparations to victims of racial injustices, and intend to acquire the powers of Dr. Manhattan for themselves and their masters, the secret white supremacist order Cyclops, led by Senator Joseph Keane Jr. Wow. Rorschach appears as a playable character in Watchmen, The End Is Nigh, with Jackie Earl Haley reprising this role. Now, Jackie Earl Haley was the man that played Rorschach in the Watchmen movie. Let's see, while Rorschach in the film adaptation is relatively faithful to his graphic novel counterpart, there are still some differences in description and storyline. Rorschach's age in the film is 35, where in the graphic novels he is 45. Let's see here. He's depicted in the film as being right-handed, as opposed to left-handed in the graphic novel. That's okay. Rorschach consistently talks in a thudding pigeon, while this is toned down in the film, with Rorschach taking a more growling manner. His psychological instability in the film is downplayed, and he appears to be stronger than his graphic novel self as he manages to ward off some attacking policemen, even after falling from an apartment window. He is shown to openly disapprove of Night Owl and Silk Spectre's relationship, which I think fits the character, because the character, he knows that Silk Spectre is still married to Dr. Manhattan, so technically, yes. He would he should disapprove of it, because in his view, that's absolutely wrong. Let's see, what else is there? In the film, rather than Rorschach, Night Owl 2 is the one who warns Ozymandias of the possible mass killer, although Rorschach was revealed to have visited him earlier. Okay. It looks like some of the differences here in the movie and the comic are pretty minor, and it's just to help kind of push the story. But it's really not like, okay, he's right-handed in one, left-handed in the other. To me, that's not a big deal. I don't know if it is to you. And if it is, that's great. If you love details that much, I get it. To me, it's not that big of a deal. Let's see. But what do you guys think so far? What do you guys think of Rorschach? Does he seem cool? He seems awesome to me. Not in like in a manifesto kind of way, but he seems cool. But let me know. Once again, you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive, under the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, share, leave a question, leave a comment, leave a critique, leave your opinions. If you have requests for future episodes, you can leave those there too. And that's under Superhero Deep Dive. And I post all the time. I think, lately I've been posting multiple videos per day of things. So there's usually something new coming up. You can email me directly as well at b4itall@yahoo.com, where I do get frequent emails. In fact, I actually got a couple emails this past week. Thank you very much for recognizing and congratulating me on the 100 episodes. I'm actually going to be entering into Old School X-Force territory pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that. But let me get into one of my favorite parts. This is the power expansion part. This is where I go into do they need a new comic series? Do they need a movie, a live action series, an animated movie, an animated series? Do they need, like, what can we do for this character? Are they still relevant? Will they last? Can they last? And Rorschach deserves everything. one time I was reading, and there was this comment made about Batman and Superman. And it's even echoed in Kill Bill. You know, I think Kill Bill Volume 2. But it says, With Batman and Superman, and Kill Bill was Superman, but their superhero identities are their actual real identities. I also believe this is the same with Captain America. You know, when they are in their costumes, when Batman has his stuff on, when Superman is wearing his cape, when Captain America has a shield, that is who they really are. When they are out of costume, when he is Bruce Wayne, when Superman is writing an article as Clark Kent, when Steve Rogers is walking around town, that is their second identity. You know, and the reason I bring this up is because I believe that with Rorschach, it's not just the same, but it's painfully evident. Not just in the context of the movie and the comics, but just his character in general. He's become so entrenched in the Rorschach persona that the Walter Kovacs identity is long gone. And I can see where he had that psychotic break, and that's kind of what he feels did it. I don't blame him for this. Like, the thing is, the stuff that he has gone through, and I think this is what makes him a great hero, the stuff that he has gone through, it's not like Batman, who's a great character, but, you know, he lost his parents and he's constantly trying to make up for that by fighting crime all the time, and then he becomes entrenched in it. This is someone that he had a hard life, and he hated his life, you know, and he found a way to fix things, and then the way he found to fix things wasn't good enough. So it pushed him over the edge to where he became Rorschach. And then there wasn't a line that he wouldn't cross. You know, like, so it's very identifiable in that. And it's very realistic to me. But this is actually, you know, like I said, this is something that becomes very real to me, because I can only imagine the freedom he feels from putting on that mask and taking matters into his own hands, as opposed to living a more mundane life in his Walter Kovacs identity. So, with that being said, that's kind of like a part one to where I want to go. Now, we also knows that he keeps journals of his activities. This is evident in the series and the movie, so I have an idea of what may be, in my opinion, like I said, the most interesting character in comics, if not just the movie or series in general. Okay, I'd love to see an audio series for Rorschach's journals. Like, we don't need it to be animated, we don't need anything live action, just have us listen to his adventures. Like, I want it to be like the old Dick Tracy or the old old-timey radio shows where there's sound effects and stuff like that. In fact, there's a company that does stuff like that with the audiobooks. It's called Graphic Audio. It's amazing. If you're into audiobooks, I definitely recommend looking up Graphic Audio, because they do superhero stuff and they have the sound effects, and it's so cool. It's so cool just to listen, because their slogan is, it's like a movie in your mind, and it's very true. I think it'd be the same with Rorschach, just with his journals. It'd be amazing to be able just to, on your day-to-day, and having that playing in your ear like a cool murder mystery. You know, as you're walking around, you're hearing all this stuff, and because I believe the character is incredibly relatable, just with the way he is written. Like, Alan Moore, you wrote him so, so well. You wrote him as a character that anyone realistically could be. And I think that the actor that played him in the Watchmen movie did a perfect job with it. Even with, like, they said, like, the voice wasn't the right kind of voice. Like, he did a more growly voice. I think it fit. And honestly, that actor's interpretation of the Rorschach character made me interested in Rorschach. and made me research him. And, you know, I've been kind of holding on to Rorschach as, like, I'm going to do an episode on him at some point. And I have a couple requests. But this one I was like, I'm going to start off, you know, episode 101 with Rorschach, because he's one of my favorites, like, of all time. But I think he's so underrated. And I want to know what you guys think. Do you like my idea of having, like, an audio series? Because it can be multiple things, and it can just be stuff that's made up that doesn't really matter. It's just his adventures and his outlook. So we need to have it written in such a way where he's talking about, like, the right and wrong. And whether you agree with his view of politics or not, that's irrelevant. It's just, to me, it's just refreshing to see someone with that kind of viewpoint of that there is a right and there's a wrong. And how are you going to handle it? But let me know in the comments. Let me know via email or whatever. You can send me a DM on Twitter or Instagram. Whatever you want to do. I really want to grow the channel on YouTube. If I can get up to 500 subscribers, I will do a giveaway. So help me out. I would really appreciate it, guys. But I think I'm going to head out for now. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. And I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone is smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. I will see you guys later. Bye-bye.